Well, good morning on this beautiful Palm Sunday in Tallahassee, Florida, especially at Bethel United Methodist Church. We've been doing an overview through the New Testament, and this morning I want to do an overview in the book of Colossians, but I also want to take a moment just to reflect on Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and then, of course, Resurrection Sunday, which comes up next week. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we come today in the name of the Lord, studying the scriptures and preparing our hearts and our minds and encouraging one another in the faith. We are all in the midst of some trials and tribulations, maybe even suffering in this time with this coronavirus and all the things that are going on in our world. But you know, the good news is that we are all individuals, and we all have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ if we choose to do so, which gives us the freedom. We respect and we thank God for the leaders of our country and the leaders of our state, the medical personnel and all the other people that's working real hard to keep us safe and keep us healthy. But it all comes down to one thing. It's our own personal responsibility. So I pray that you can keep your head. Don't lose your head in these days and time. Now, I know that's a crazy old saying, don't lose your head. And it's kind of humorous, but you know we can't lose our sense of humor either in these days and time. But I know, don't lose your head. It's an old saying, and it's sometimes used with a touch of humor. Of course, reality, we could not live without our heads, could we? But suppose we could. What then? Think about this. If you didn't have a head, you wouldn't have any eyes to see to where you're going. No ears to hear an important message like this one this morning, or beautiful songs that we just praise and thank God and understand the message in song and word and music. But then you wouldn't have a nose either to smell all the beautiful scents that's around us at all times. Nor would you have a tongue to taste. No voice to be heard. No brain to guide you through the maze that we call life. And no face. You know, now they have facial identity. You can walk up to some kind of machine that takes a picture of your eyes and has facial recognition. But if you didn't have any faith, you wouldn't have any identity. As a faceless person, you would cease to be recognizable as you. Now think that the head is the center of physical life. No doubt about that. But think more how much vital is the head of the body of Christian believers, the church. The key message that Paul was giving to the church at Colossae is that Christ and Christ alone is the head of the church. He is first in everything, chapter 1, verse 18. And you and I, as Christians and members of this body of Christ known as Bethel United Methodist Church, I'm proud to say that we recognize that Christ is our head, our spiritual source of life and our guide, our counselor, and our spiritual identity. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians, reminding them that Christ is the head of the body of believers, the church. Christ is not a creed or a doctrine, but the actual personhood of God, God in the flesh. And he was before all things were created in the universe, chapter 1, verse 8. All over all principalities and powers in the air is recorded in chapter 2, verse 15. Now, Paul never visited Colossae. It was a church that was started by Epaphras. You can read that in chapter 1, verse 7. It was probably a person that Paul had led to Christ. And Colossae was located about 100 miles east of Ephesus in the modern-day Turkey. It had a large Jewish population because many Jews fled there during the time of persecutions of Antiochus III and also the IV, which was really amazingly 2 centuries before the birth of Christ. Paul, being a Jewish believer, was able to understand this congregation of Jews that was converted to Christians. So he looked at the Christians at Colossae, and he understood and began to debate this truth that they had acknowledged Christ as their Savior. But they began to sample other things, as many do today. Some begin to worship angels, focus on rituals, or still others with the blend of Jewish and Greek and Eastern Orthodox religions and many other beliefs that kind of mixed in with the Christianity. And it became a source of watering down the gospel, if you would. And more importantly, it was confusing to new converts who come into the church for the first time, professing Jesus as Lord. So the church of Colossae was drifting away from Christ, the head of the Colossians church, and they lost their identity with him. Now, they could easily fit in today's society because we are so mixed up now and all the different things, but when you stay true to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have hope, and we are able to sort through this maze of all the different things. But Christ is not merely an important part of our new life. You say, wait a minute, preacher, what do you mean he's not a part of our new life? He is our life. The reason for all that we do. Chapter 3, verse 11. And when Christ is truly our head, people recognize us as Christians. So if you have received Christ as Lord, as the Apostle Paul was telling the Colossians, he said then, walk with him, be rooted in him, by knowing his word and obeying it. Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Now this is accomplished by studying God's word. One of the reasons that I wanted to do an overview of the New Testament that challenged us all to get into the word and to become Christians and take on the new life in Christ, but also dropping the old life. And if the old sinful way of life dies, then guess what? Then your desire to sin would die too. It gives us a, incentive to understand really what this new life in Christ is. And the scriptures give us an awful lot of information. We don't have to do this thing called Christianity all by ourselves. We have brothers and sisters in the Lord that help us. We have the church. We have Christ. We got others. We got prayer. More importantly, we got the scriptures. You see, Christians are in danger today. Not from without as much as from within. And having acknowledged Christ and then given into materialism, self-centeredness, preoccupation with other things, we have a loss of spiritual sensitivity to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. So to be truly Christian, we must let the Word of God dwell richly in us by reading the Word of God. The Apostle Paul gave us an awful lot of insights about a lot of things, about discipline in Colossians chapter 3. Now, parenting is really tough today, especially when they got kids at home and we're sort of like maybe get cabin fever or different things. But I want to encourage the parents that are dealing with children in the home today, being not in school, not in home. The Apostle Paul in chapter 3 gives us some insights. Parenting is not easy, as I mentioned, he said, and children try our patience. I didn't know if you knew that. Seemingly infinite number of ways. But remember, frustration and anger should not be the basis for applying discipline. While a lack of discipline can result in rebellious and unresponsive children, discipline that is too harsh or frequent become counterproductive. The scriptures talk about this, and children will often respond to such intense discipline with equal intensity. They'll either fight back or give up altogether. So the purpose of parental discipline is to help our children grow, not to hurt or discourage them. And this is vital to the children's development in our day and time. I thank you goodness for Tina and Tina too, and Travis and Carol Morgan, who work real hard on teaching the children that come to our church the disciplines and the things that we need to do and to help each and one of us grow in grace. And in chapter 4, verse 2, I want to close with this. Paul said, this is an encouragement. You know, we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith. So this is an encouragement for prayer. Chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says in the New Living Translation, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. You see, we pray often when we have a need. We pray often when we want something from God. But what happens when God answers our prayer? Do we remember to pray often and thank Him fervently for the answered prayer? What are your prayers today? And have your prayers been answered or your needs provided lately? Spend some time just thanking God very specifically. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be able to do this service in a way that is unusual. Sending it out by email and Phil putting it on an MP3 file where we can't really meet in the church like we would like to and have communion and fellowship. But you know, this too shall pass as we don't lose our heads, and we'll be able to do it again. I'm grateful that Governor DeSantis had put some guidelines in this period of time where we're supposed to practice social distancing. Forgive me for having a tongue tie, but also the things that are going on in this world, and that we can come to church in a little small group, and we can still have funerals. Oh, God forbid, we don't want no funerals, but if we have to, we can come together. It's not the end of all. So we're grateful that you tuned in today, and we pray a special prayer that each and every one of you listening to this message this morning know our Lord and Savior in a personal way. But sometimes we just don't ever want to take it for granted that people know how to accept Christ in their life. It's a simple prayer for simple people. Lord, forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. Would You come into my life and be Lord over it? Because I recognize as people talk, You are the head of the church. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want that personal relationship with You. In Jesus' precious name, have a blessed day. Amen.